I'm delighted to be sitting here with Abby Reader, known to many of you as the NFU Cymru Deputy President, but also a farmer, a mixed farmer, farming in partnership with her parents and uncle in Wenvo, which is just outside Cardiff. Welcome this morning, Abby.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks very much for inviting me.
What I'd like to start off with, perhaps it would be nice for our listeners if you could tell us a little bit about your own farm.
Yeah, certainly. We are I'm a third generation farmer. We're farming approximately 700 acres. And like you said, it's just outside Cardiff. So it's quite an urban farm. We're mainly dairy, milking 200 cows. And all of the cows are descended from both sets of grandparents. And I'm delighted to say that my grandfathers were farmers, but also my grandmothers. And my mother's a farmer. And I think that's really important to point out. We've also got about 100 head of beef cattle. They stem from the dairy herd, Aberdeen Angus. We've got about 150 sheep, and we do some arable then that supports the dairy enterprise. We've most recently invested in a new milking parlour, which is now 6 years old. I can't believe it, which replaced a 40 to 45 year old hybrid. That's probably the best way to describe it. And we've also put a new cubicle shed in for the highest yielders, which went in about 3 years ago.
So it's interesting looking at investment on farm at the moment. You're obviously very confident about the future of dairying to be looking at expanding a bit and obviously cattle investing in the farm. How do you feel today about where dairy farmers are?
Well, it's quite a mixed bag at the minute, isn't it? I mean, obviously, all of us are seeing rising milk prices. There's still quite a variance in how much their milk price is rising, but it is good to see. But equally, we're seeing a lot of rising costs, and that's putting a lot of pressure on. And I know people are feeling issues such as labour and really just a general feeling of worth. Sometimes there can be quite a lot of anti-farming rhetoric going on out there. But you know, I think generally we all understand that there is a growing population. That population needs to be kept healthy. There's a lot more interest in homegrown these days. So if you have got a business that's got access to young people, whether that's, you know, your own youngsters that are coming up through, or whether that's youngsters that are now working with you from elsewhere in the industry, then, you know, I think you can be in a pretty good place to be offering what is, well, for dairy, is a fantastic product. For beef, for lamb, everybody has got an opportunity at the moment. It's just a case of sitting tight and weathering some of these storms that were coming through.
And how do you feel about looking at your political role? I know that you were the co-founder of Cows on Tour, and you're also one of the people who hosts the Open Farm Sunday events. What are you hearing politically? What are your concerns about what's happening within the government at the moment? Now we've got a new team.
Yeah, so I suppose the biggest issue is obviously in Wales, maybe we can be slightly separate because a lot of agriculture is devolved in Wales, but it all comes down to the same thing, whether you're from England, Scotland, Wales or Northern Ireland. It's the size of that money pot that's coming out of UK government and then what you can do with it. And clearly, due to COVID, money's been flying out left, right and centre to support all sorts of industries. And how do we make ourselves be sort of up and foremost in government's mind when they're looking at allocating money or maintaining budgets? And it's constantly reminding them that food is important. And I think perhaps over the last few years, well, through pre-COVID, appreciation for homegrown food wasn't necessary there. Not maybe because people deliberately didn't care, but because food is just so freely available, whether it's from this country or from further overseas. It was always on shelves. There were never shelf shortages. That has changed a lot. It's still taking time to sink in, but it is about reminding politicians that food doesn't just appear. And in some ways, we're sort of too good for our own good because we haven't let those shelves run dry. And where they have, it's been something we haven't been responsible for as farmers. The food has been there. It's just maybe logistics that have stopped those shelves being as fully stocked as they may have been. So, you know, we do a good job at doing that, and it's making sure that politicians understand it.
Do you feel there's a swing towards more desire for homegrown food and local food?
There is. I think that sometimes, I mean, if we look at, say, public procurement, so putting food into schools, hospitals, nursing homes, prisons even, I think that sometimes those organisations are so big and people there are perhaps so busy thinking about whether they want to support the nice story of being able to buy from the local farmer isn't really on their agenda. And we talk about, well, we've got this fantastic story to tell, and if they do this, they can support the local economy. But do they really know that? Have they got that message? Are they supported in that way? Are we talking enough with them? So, yes. And then if you look at, you know, we saw during COVID, people turned more to local farm shops and things like that and their locality. One, because they trusted it, and two, because they felt safer supplying more locally. So the tide is turning, but it's going to be quite slow. And I think perhaps as a population, we're just, again, so used to having food that's out of season and available all the time, and there's a lot of choice. And it's going to be quite hard to turn a lot of that around.
Are you seeing changes since Brexit with that down in Wales? Are you seeing supply issues with some products that before perhaps were floating in more easily?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It, you know, if you look at a supermarket, there's less choice on the shelves. If you look at things that we buy in as farmers, it can take a lot longer to buy items in, to get parts. Some things you just can't get hold of anymore. So things have changed. We knew change was coming. It's about adapting.
So, Abby, I know one of the big issues in Wales at the moment, particularly in the south of Wales, where there are some big dairy herds, is one of labour. How are you addressing this, and what are your fears for the future with this?
Yeah, so there's two sources of labour, aren't there? I mean, there's obviously labour in our locality, and if we can attract people in from elsewhere in Wales or UK, and then we've got access to overseas labour. Wales isn't a massive user of overseas labour, but that tool is really no longer in the box. And for people who are managing to get overseas labour into this country, full credit to them, because it's incredibly expensive and incredibly complicated. And obviously, they're still dealing with the barriers of language and culture, etc. Access then to people who are more local to you, it's becoming more challenging. I mean, particularly if you look at dairy, it's an unusual job to go into. It can be quite demanding. It can be very strange hours, even if you can manage to do shift work and compact those hours. It can be really hard to get labour in. And I've been working on the farm now for 20 years. And I knew even 15 years ago that our biggest challenge is always, always, always going to be labour, access to good labour that wants to come in, wants to work for you, put the hours, wants to learn, grow, commit. And it's a hard job to attract people into.
So what do you think we should be doing as an industry to try and make farming more attractive, if you like?
We're certainly going to have to rethink about hours. I saw a fantastic comment on social media. It was a few months ago now, and I can't quite remember it exactly, but it was something like, you know, you expect someone to work for you for 100 hours a week on the minimum pay and still be happy about it. And I suppose in some ways we're quite a spoiled industry that we have such committed people. Lots of people will, you know, they'll give you everything. But with times changing, and actually we need to attract more people in, they're not necessarily of that ethos, and everybody's lives are getting busier and different. So we need to maybe start thinking about shorter hours and shifts. Can we alter timings of what we do to suit people better, maybe around families? There's going to be a massive need to change how we look at labour and how we can substitute it or use it in a different way.
Do you think that COVID has had an influence on this, in that it's shown people that lifestyle perhaps is as important? I know in New Zealand, for example, lifestyle as part of farming seems to be a much more important part of the mix than it has been here.
Yes, definitely. I mean, lots of people appreciate being outdoors a lot more, and people appreciate not having to commute so far to work. So there are those positives, and it's something really that we need to build on. We need to be careful, because I think people have got short memories. So, you know, if we don't capitalise on it soon, then it may not come into being.
And does it go back to education in the schooling system as well, that farming still isn't sold, if you like, as a dynamic, exciting industry? I know a lot of careers people seem to be out of touch with what modern farming is all about. Is there something we should be doing there?
Completely. I mean, I'm part of Cows on Tour, which is a group of farmers who will voluntarily go into schools to tell the farming story. And that's to try and create the positive image of farming. Farmers have got lots of bad things being thrown at them at the minute, as have other industries, but we're facing a lot of bad things, and we need to talk about that for all sorts of reasons, but we also need to be very conscious about the image we portray of the industry that we're a part of. And if we think about and forget all of the bills that might be mounting up and this, that and the other, we actually love our jobs. And how many people out there would love their job more than a farmer? You know, probably there might be people that would match it, but farmers, they're just, it's core to their very being, what their job is. And I think trying to get that message across is absolutely vital. And I went to a school right in the heart of Cardiff, very urban. There is no way my careers advisors would even have, well, they didn't think of farming as a career. I would imagine my school would be horrified if they saw some of the things that I do now. I always chuckle to myself when I scrape the yards. Because if I was going to describe the job that I was doing to that school at that moment in time, they'd be disgusted. So, yeah, it's trying to change those minds.
So that brings us on to sort of how we're going to move forward through this. And obviously, one of the areas I'm interested in addressing is one of new technology. How do you see new technology fitting in on farm in the future?
It's vital in all sorts of ways. I do lots of career talks in schools. I'll go into assemblies. I was in one on Monday. And the most attractive thing that I can take into those schools with me is talk and sometimes, you know, actual items of technology and say, we are doing this because we are going to have more welfare friendly, more environmentally friendly, more carbon friendly food. And we can do it with all of this exciting equipment, and it can offer us precision. We can save costs. We can get all of those benefits. So it's just about trying to integrate them into our farms as best we can. And, you know, we're typical farmers. As soon as you take the plunge and put it in there, you say to yourself, why on earth didn't I do that years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly noticed that in Wales, there's been a big move towards robotics on farm. I think, you know, in terms of density, there's quite a lot of people now who are moving that way. How do you feel about that as new technology?
It's definitely something we've got to plan for. I mean, I said right at the start, we've got a new cubicle shed that we put in 3 years ago, and my parlour is 6 years old. When we put in our milking parlour, it's a herringbone parlour. We made a conscious decision then. We considered putting in robotic parlours, so that would be one example of robotics that we could use on the farm. And we considered it then, and it probably wasn't necessarily a viable option. But nonetheless, as we were planning the cubicle shed, and that really had to be planned at the same time as we were planning the parlour, even though we knew we weren't going to do it for a few years, we knew that we had to think ahead that at some point we might end up with a robotic milking parlour. And all of those buildings that went up were going to have to remain adaptable, and the cubicle shed's been built to fit something like that. So that's a simple example of robotics. There's so many opportunities out there to use them. It's just it's a piecemeal thing of deciding what is going to suit you first if you're thinking about putting it in. And it's a good way to help encourage youngsters to come home. If you have got sons and daughters, or, you know, whoever's coming into the farm with you, you can say to them, look, you haven't got to work my hours anymore, because there are other ways that we can do this.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think the use of robotics I've seen is that it is a lifestyle changer, because somebody hasn't got to sit in a parlour for 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the afternoon, basically. And there is freedom to move around. But there's also more freedom to spend more time with the cows, identifying issues with the cows, because I think with the labour issues, a lot of farms are struggling to get good labour on farm, and perhaps are missing some of the early identifications, if you like, of disease, for example, things, cases like mastitis. And it's enabling them to be picked up a lot more easily. There's more time to spend looking at individual cows.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what's come to the top of my mind at the minute, lameness is a brilliant example. You know, you see a lame cow and you think, I have not got time to do you today, and or this morning or this afternoon, whenever it is. And those things get pushed on. And the more time that you can free up to get on top of things like that, the better position your farm will be in, and the happier you'll feel. I mean, they talk about how demotivating cows that aren't quite, you know, aren't quite 100% are to people that work on that farm. So the more time that you've got to get better at handling those, the better.
How about investment in new technology? Are farmers being quite slow to invest in new technology and look at it? I know, again, in Wales, we've got a lot of family farms as well as larger units. Is there a message to them here?
I get everybody's nervous of investing. I think we're all so nervous of the economic climate at the minute. It makes you hesitate. We need to talk a lot more about the benefits that we get. I'm part of a mobility group, a dairy mobility foot group then. And we talk a lot as a group of eight farms between us. And in particular, I've got a new foot bath, which was put in during COVID. Absolutely amazing, has completely transformed everything. The time it saves me, the health on the cow's feet and things like that. And trying to convey that message to the other farmers in the group who are still doing their foot bathing manually, how I used to. I can see now from the other side how beneficial it is. So it's, yeah, we just need to talk a lot more about the benefits it brings.
And how confident are you about the future of dairy farming in Wales?
There's absolutely a future for dairy farming in Wales. We've come through Brexit. Whatever people's feelings may be on it, there are different markets out there and there are different opportunities. Of all the milk that we produce in Wales, 50% leaves Wales and goes to England. And quite a lot of it will stay there because we're supplying milk for large urban populations in England. But of that remains in Wales, that 50% overall that we produced, most of it goes into cheese, and a lot of that cheese is exported. And that export opportunity is huge. Then we've also got the cheese that we make and retain in our own country. And we've got some fantastic processors within Wales who are winning awards. South Carnarvon Creamery is a brilliant example. Cooperative won an award the other day. We've got cheesemakers throughout Wales. It's a bit unfair if I pull any out. But there's huge opportunity there for dairy. Huge.
And what about reducing dairy numbers? Are you seeing people getting out of dairying at the moment?
There's always going to be ones that are going out and ones that are coming in. Dairy cow numbers are not declining. Farm numbers may be declining a little bit, but dairy cow numbers are not. Milk production is increasing. Granted, it's a little slower than it used to be, but it is. So I think that, you know, I mean, look at the moment. People are buying, with the price of milk, people are buying in the markets, buying lots of heifers, lots of second and third calvers, because they're keen to up their milk supply. So, you know, that's not really going to change. The country is not suddenly going to say, we want less milk from you. It's always going to say more. And the global demand for dairy is absolutely, you know, spiralling way up there. So that's good news.
So good news all round as far as the future of dairy is concerned in Wales.
Yeah, we should not underestimate what a safe, traceable and healthy product we produce here is. And the fact that we are a maritime climate that produces grass probably to the most efficient level in the world. And we've certainly got examples to show that that's true in red meat. We're still waiting for the details on dairy, but I would imagine if it's red meat, then it's going to cover dairy. We can be one of the most sustainable models for producing what is an essential source of protein that's very healthy to get into to anyone, particularly young and old. So yeah, we've got a product that the world needs.
That's great. Thanks very much for joining me today, Abby. Lovely discussion, and so pleased to hear your passion and your confidence about dairy farming in Wales. Thank you.